If you will, this afternoon, please turn with me to Mark chapter 1. The song we just sang was very fitting, talking about, can a leper change his spots? No, not without the power of Christ. And so that's what we will be looking at today, is the healing of the leper. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him and forthwith went, sent him away and saith unto him, see thou, say nothing to any man, but go forth thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. But it was without a desert, but it was without in desert places, and there came to him from every quarter. Let me begin in prayer. Oh God, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do look unto you for refreshment this afternoon. We do look unto you for healing. Lord, may we see in this word that we are just like this leper spiritually, that we are full of leprosy, and that we need your cleansing power, and that we may fall at your feet and receive of you this. Lord, we do believe that you have the power, that it's just the same power that you had in this day as in the day we live. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to these things. May we see our own souls reflected in the words that you have spoken and kept for us in your word. May it make us more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we go forth in his name, and we do pray this in the name of our Savior and for his sake. Amen. So we meet with today a leper who was seeking to be made whole by Christ. Now this little narrative here is composed of verses 40 through 45, but I'd like to look at just 40 through 42, excuse me, the first half there, the leper coming and then being healed by Christ is our main emphasis today. During this time in history, there was no cure for what ailed this poor man. The medical doctors, the medical knowledge in that day and age had no solution for leprosy. To be healed took a great miracle of God. We see Christ showing compassion and his divine power in performing this miracle. We may not be afflicted with leprosy, but we do suffer from spiritual leprosy. This is why it's recorded for us. This is why we are brought to see these things. While suffering under spiritual leprosy, we are rendered loathsome to God and in a state of separation. We cannot, in our own power, cleanse ourselves or gain cleansing by the hands of other men. We have to have Christ. As the leper, we must fall at the feet of Christ, begging him to heal us. By falling at his feet, we will receive the same welcome this leper received, one of compassion and power to overcome that which plagues us. And we will start by taking a look at the leper himself. Those who are sick seek after a physician. We see that over and over again throughout the New Testament. We see those who are in need going to Christ. And of course, if we are whole or comfortable with our position, we don't seek after help to fix ourselves. That is where we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us and show us our faults, that we are spiritually full of leprosy and need Christ. This soul in need stands before the second person of the Godhead seeking to be cleansed. A cleansing that could only come from the great physician himself. And we see just that in verses 41 and 42. And there came a leper to him. Now here, when a leper is spoken of, this is a person with a skin disease. Now we're not very, we're not sure what type of skin disease this was, or what is meant by leper in the Old Testament. You can get plenty of articles and Bible dictionaries that talk about what type of leprosy it may have been or it may not have been. Some think it was elephantitis. Some think it might be what's called Hansen's disease. But either way, it was something that was fully on him. Because in the book of Luke, the same account is given. And Luke says he was full of leprosy. So this wasn't just a small patch like on his shoulder or on his leg or on his arm. He was full of it. And I did a little research on Hansen's disease, and this was probably the closest to what probably leprosy would visualize in our own minds. Hansen's disease is very serious. It is often covering whole bodies. It accelerates to the point that it starts taking members, fingers and toes, and defiguring faces. It is a very serious disease. Now, there were some ceremonial issues with a leper, and you can read about those in Leviticus, about what the priests were supposed to do and how they were to handle the cases of leprosy. Those afflicted by leprosy were ritually unclean and required to live in isolation. So this was a very serious matter. It wasn't just something that to be taken lightly. And whatever this disease was, whatever type of leprosy it was, or how it afflicted this man, whatever it is, we need to understand that the most important lesson we can draw from this is that we are spiritual lepers in the sight of God. Fully and completely. And we are cut off from His kingdom in that state. This affected His whole body. It affected probably his mind because of the condition he was in and the reactions he got from other people being outcasted. Those whom saw him probably crossed the street to walk on the other side of the street with good cause in Israel because he could cause others to be ceremonially unclean. His identity was his leprosy. That's what they knew him as, those who had known him. And him being separated from the society. Is not our sin the same way? It affects every part of our faculties. Our hearts, our conscience, our mind, the will, our nature, the understanding, memory, and affections, all these things with our sin are affected. This poor man probably could not hold a job or work. He probably had to beg and rely on the pity of others. Even if he did have Hansen's disease, there's no telling how far along this disease had gotten. Maybe he was even missing fingers or toes, so he wouldn't have been very useful in the workforce. And not only that, there was the stigma with it that it possibly could be contagious by touch. Not only the uncleanness of the ceremonial uncleanness, but just touching. We have the same perception on certain diseases. Like back in the 80s, late 80s, I remember with HIV/AIDS, that was a big stigma. You didn't want to touch anybody that had that because everybody thought it was contagious by touch. And then people grew more knowledgeable of the disease, they began to realize it was by body fluids that transferred HIV and AIDS. But there still was a stigmatism on him. In Isaiah 64, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." This is us before God as a leper, spiritually. On this day, what did the leper do? He did the only thing, the best thing he could do, which was fall at the feet of Christ. He came to Christ. He comes into the presence of the great physician, which even this was not like the 10 lepers. If you're familiar with that story, they stood afar off and asked Christ to heal them, which, of course, in Christ's power, he could do so. This man came and fell at his feet. He was close enough for the Savior to touch him. In Israelite society, this was a big no-no. The Pharisees themselves probably would have been undone with him if he had tried to enter into their midst. They probably would have ran the other direction. But not Christ. Dear friends, we must do the same thing if we wish to be cleansed of our sins. We must come before Him seeking His help. The leper does not come in a sloppy manner. He comes in bowing and begging the Lord to save him. He does not come into His presence as like an old lost friend or a family member or any of that familiarity. He comes and falls at the Savior's feet. Our text says in verse 40, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and asking the Lord to save him, to clean him. And not only that, he is doing this in a reverent manner before the Lord. In Matthew, the same account that's recorded, Matthew says he called him Lord, called Christ Lord. Now, of course, in the Greek, that could be translated other places as sir. But I think here he knew whom Christ was. He had heard enough of Christ's public ministry to know that Christ could heal such an affliction as his. He did not deny his power, but the willingness of the Lord to heal him. Now, of course, he should have just asked for the Lord to heal him and not been unfaithful in that matter, but he still had enough faith to go to Christ begging him to be healed. The leper appeals to the tenderheartedness of the Messiah in this manner. Will you not come to the Messiah and make an appeal for cleansing? If you are sincere in seeking Him, He will be found. That's Jeremiah 29:13. What worry could you possibly have? This man, full of leprosy, comes into its midst who could make him ceremonially unclean, but Christ still receives him. This is not often what we hear in the Scriptures of how the Lord looks to take in the poor and the distressed. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 14. And we'll read verses 15 down to 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came back and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house grew angry. He said to the servant, 'Go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.' So he went to the who's of the nation with the servants and bid them to come to his great feast. And they all had excuses. But then he asked them to go to the lanes and streets of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. This is whom the Lord receives. Those who know their stance before him. Now back to our text. Let's look at Christ the great physician, the one whom he is fleeing to. There is even more blessed hope uncovered to us in the next few verses as we see the great physician working. Christ's response should help any today who are unsure of going to him. He will not cast us out if we are sincere and coming to him in a manner of receiving help at his hands. Even if we are the poor and the maimed and the halt of this world. Now, as far as men are concerned, we don't want to help those. We want to ignore them and put them away. We would rather be busy about other work than concerned with the poor of this world. And we see in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion toward this poor man in front of him, this poor wretched man. This Greek word appears only in the Gospels, and it's only in reference to Christ being moved with compassion. His heart went out to him. We see our Lord's tender mercy for even the most offensive and unclean. What compassion! If only men would have half this compassion for the poor. He did not recoil in horror as this man fell at his feet. He did not say, be away from me, don't touch me, you can make me unclean. No, he received him gladly. Christ is not worried about being defiled himself. The Pharisees of Christ's day, as I spoke of earlier, would be greatly upset over this man's action. They would have not been moved with compassion. They probably would have been moved with great disgust. This man was distressed and seeking of Christ a cure only Christ could give. The Lord sees us in the same light as this poor man, spiritually. Christ is the great high priest. He is not polluted by our sin. That's the amazing thing of how God designed that. The priests in the Old Testament could be defiled by certain events. If they had touched a dead body or had came into contact with a leper, there would have been ways to clean themselves and find themselves declared cleansed. But here, our great high priest is not worried about such a thing. Turn with me to Hebrews 4, verse 15. And the writer of Hebrews says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched to the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And this speaks of Christ, the great eternal high priest, the one whom we don't have to keep electing high priests or have a high priest. He sits at the right hand of the Father and will always be the high priest. And no matter how sinful we are, he is not defiled by our sin. He wasn't even defiled by sin while he was robed in this sinful flesh he walked on earth with. Because that was the purpose of the Lord in sending him as the incarnate God. Christ's love and compassion had this poor man as their object. We cannot be so defiled that Christ will cast us off. The leper was not going to recover in any way, but only would grow worse. And so it is in our same sinful state. If you think that you're going to clean your life up before coming to Christ, you are sadly mistaken. Sin does nothing more but grow worse the longer we live with it. It has to be dealt with. It has to be cleansed. You will receive the same reception as the poor leper received in love and compassion. The Lord did not say, get out of my midst, go away. He said, no, come, I welcome you. And we see further in that verse, what does it say? Put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou cleansed. Compassion causes our Lord Jesus Christ to reach out and touch him. The first touch the man ever probably had felt was by the Messiah. And what a scene. Can you not picture it, dear friends, in your minds? As he's standing there and this poor, wretched man is falling at his feet and begging him. And he stoops over and reaches down and touches him. What a beautiful scene. The leper's uncertainty was met with God's certainty. He wasn't sure of whether the Lord would be willing to heal him or not, but he was. And he said, I will. God alone can speak with such assurances. Do we not see that? God is able to do whatever he wills, whenever he so chooses. Verse 42 says the leprosy departed immediately. Not down the road. Not sometime in 6 months did he recover. No, immediately right then and there. And this shows the complete and immediate power of our Lord Jesus Christ. As that song we sung earlier, the power of God is what changes the leper's spots. This occurs with our own sin when we come to Christ. There is no sin too great that Christ cannot absolve. God is all powerful. And we see that even in the grave, even in the punishment for sin, even in death. This morning, the text read for the New Testament portion was John 10, where it talks about the great shepherd. And later on in that text of John there, Christ says, I have power even over death because my Father has given it to me. The grave couldn't even swallow him up in 3 days. What about his friend Lazarus? He was in the grave for 4 days. And Christ came and called him forth. And he walked out of the grave in the grave clothes. Do not let your fear of how black your sins are keep you from seeking relief at the hands of Christ. Come unto him. Why not? He has the power to absolve you of your sins, cleanse you, confirm you as cleansed as he did here to this leper. And it's immediate. It's not a band-aid or something that has to be done later on. It's right then and immediate. But he also has the love and compassion to welcome you. He is not as the greats of this world who look the other way or walk down the other side of the street to avoid the poor and the halt and the maimed and the needy. He welcomes them into his presence. To men, this man was full of leprosy, was a lost cause. The doctors probably would have not even looked twice at his case. The Pharisees, the leaders, the religious sect of that day probably did not even want to be in his midst to minister unto him. His whole life was shaped by this horrible disease, even to the point of being cut off from Jewish society. Our sin is just like this leprosy. We are full of sin and cut off from God's kingdom. Until that day we meet Christ, who in his compassion and power separate us from this sin, as this man was separated from his leprosy. May the Lord use this narrative to drive us to seek relief at the hands of the great Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.